hundreds of major fires in the last 75 years of modern steel buildings. The latest was the Madrid building, burned for almost 48 hours, with 100-foot white-hot flames, and that's white-hot, as hot as it gets, shooting out, and some tiny little inch-around metal, up in the ceilings collapsed, but none of the big supports even got damaged. I mean, there were still desks and furniture that had melted that had been in the center of the inferno. The thing looked like a giant Roman candle.
Right, exactly. And people were expecting the Madrid building to collapse because the towers had collapsed.
CNN was going, it'll collapse just like it did. That's just how it is.
But it didn't, And as you say, no building has collapsed due to fire. I mean, I have to say the repeatability is the issue in scientific terms. You can't get a model to fail. Actual buildings that have fires, worse than the towers, certainly, or Building 7, much worse, and they don't collapse. So how are we supposed to believe the fire collapse theory? And now there's damage, too. That's true. But not to building... Building 7 had a little damage, but no jet plane hit it. So this raises the issue. There must be some other hypothesis here that needs to be explored. And why?
And then, doctor, they've had four others, and then FEMA has to go back when those get examined and say, okay, that wasn't it. First, they claim a fuel oil container blew up. Then it turns out it didn't. That didn't cause it. Then they claimed a bunch of other things. Now they said that one of the towers fell into it and knocked out the central support. Everybody knows it just had some debris hit and knock out a few windows. That's totally false. And they just keep throwing out frauds that they even have to admit are frauds later.
Yes, well, yeah, as you read in the NIST and FEMA reports, which I've read through, it makes interesting reading, actually, because, like the part I just quoted, saying,
it's like
well,
they have split personalities.
Yeah, the models don't fail, but we'll try computer hypotheticals is what they resorted to in the NIST report. Now, FEMA had the decency to say, look, this hypothesis, they call it the best hypothesis, is the only one they looked at, really, which is fire caused collapse of Building 7, has only a low probability of occurrence. I quote that in my paper also. This FEMA. So to their credit, they admit, we don't understand, and they say that, we don't understand. But what they should do as good scientists is say, now, what other hypothesis might apply? We see squids. We see a fast, symmetrical collapse of this building. It looks a little bit like controlled demolition. Maybe we should consider, but they don't.
That's exactly what I was about to bring up, doctor, is that what is it in science when all the evidence over and over again in scientific testing shows and in real life over and over again replicated with the exact same response, but then they ignore all of that historical evidence. Ooh, that's a perfect controlled demolition. I mean, there were controlled demolition experts and engineers that first day all over TV going, that looks like they blew it up. Why, that's a beautiful, man, I've blown buildings like that. Well, that's a crimp. Then all the real experts, until they got told to shut up, were like, that's ridiculous. But why do they ignore that then, doctor?
You see, this is what we call in science, and I've studied a number of examples, it's what we call pathological science. It is putting on blinders so that you only look at, you start with a conclusion, and then you look at data that supports your conclusion. The conclusion in this case is the buildings came down due to damage and fire. We're not going to even consider anything else. And that's pathological science to ignore all these other data. And, of course, to be below that foregone conclusion.
Well, it shows an agenda.
It does. It does. And the foregone conclusion, as I mentioned in my paper, is that they seem to be pushing for the Muslims did it, and we don't want to consider any possibility of any other explanation. Which is, it's unscientific. That's what I'm trying to say. And we need to broaden the scientific investigation to include the obvious hypothesis of explosive demolition.
Now, obviously, they're ignoring the mountain of science and evidence and eyewitnesses. Just with seven, but we have now scores of firefighters on record going, it was bombs, they were detonating, did you see the bombs?
Right.
More and more recordings of this, all of this happening. And then at the same time, we have reports like the 9/11 Commission put out where they just say, oh, there, this was a weird building, very weak. It had no supports in its center. But then I actually went down to the UT Architecture Department because they studied the building there and pulled it out. And it was talking about this is the biggest supports ever built, huge, you know, 24 giant support columns. But then I turned on Why the Towers Fell on Discovery Channel, and it was hollow. It was a lattice. It was pathetically weak. But then the designer of it.
That's just not true. That's
Namuro Yamasaki says you could take multiple hits. The main engineer on it, who died in the towers that day, says it could take multiple hits. It's some of the strongest buildings ever built, Doctor. But then they just magically say it doesn't have these giant columns. I mean, that's not just science. That's like saying the sun didn't come up this morning.
Yeah, that's true. And unfortunately, they're getting away with it so far. But see, in science, when you come up with, now they've finally come up with their final report just a month ago. Let's see, it was just over a month ago now. This is the final report on the towers by NIST. And it has glaring weaknesses that I outline and analyze in my paper. But, you know, NIST has delayed, they say decoupled, the report on Building 7, and now it's overdue. So, obviously, they're struggling to come up with an explanation it's called trying to fit the hypothesis. That's a characteristic of bad science, by the way. But anyway, obviously they're struggling to fit the hypothesis that fire caused the collapse of Building 7. It just does not add up.
So, Doctor, where does it go from here? I mean, more and more prominent individuals. I mean, I remember within a week they had one of the chief scientists at the big mining college in New Mexico with several degrees, doctorates, and he went public and said only explosives could do this. I've done the mass explosives ratio. He's an explosives doctor, you know, expert on that, explosives engineer, excuse me. And they just said, look, we're going to take your funding if you don't shut up. And he suddenly said, okay, I'm wrong. I'll shut up. Have you talked to him?
Romero, no, I haven't actually talked to him. I've talked to others, you know, Jack Wayland, professor up in Idaho, and Jeff Strahl, who's out at University of California, Berkeley, Jim Hoffman, of course. David Griffin has done some excellent work, as you know, and books on these subjects. But I haven't talked to Romero. I was disappointed in his retraction without an explanation. Now, usually when a scientist retracts a statement, which is, as you say, a very strong statement, it looks just like demolition, the characteristics match demolition, and so on. This was on 9/11. But then for him to retract a few days later without an explanation, that makes me think, well, that's not very scientific.
Well, that's right. That's right. When the physicist Stephen Hawking came out and said, okay, I was wrong about my black hole hypothesis, you know, he then gave the equations and said why.
Here's why. Sure. That's the scientific way.
All right. Well, Doctor, please stay with us for one more little final segment. We've been so honored to have you. Any other key points you want to make on the other side, we'll be able to do that. We'll be right back, my friends, with Dr. Jones. Children's future. You think about them. We've got a criminal elite that openly had plans to carry out attacks on buildings, to hijack jets by remote control, to crash them, to blame it on the Soviets. It was called Operation Northwoods, and we see the exact same type of plan being carried out. You know, you've heard them, the admirals. I've had the former chairman, Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moore, on this program. I've had countless others, people who took the phone calls from LBJ in 1967 when he said, I want that GD ship going to the bottom. Been under attack for over 2 hours by torpedo boats, fighter bombers, being strafed, killed. Most highly decorated ship in U.S. history. And in between LBJ and the Israelis, they decided to attack the ship, try to sink it, kill everyone on board. They had helicopters there to kill anybody in lifeboats. And the admirals were sending in fighter jets to save the ship, and they wouldn't follow McNamara's orders. The admirals said, no, we're going to save the ship. And the president got on. He said, this is the president. You listen to me, admiral. That ship's going to the GD bottom. They lied about Gulf of Tonkin. 58,000 died. Don't you think for a minute the people running this country won't pull stuff like this? None of us are safe. Do you understand? until we stand up and say no. Now, our guest is going to stay 5 minutes in the next hour with us, and we'll get Dr. Paul Craig Robertson with us, and we're going to take a few calls. Before we talk to Lou in California and a few others that want to talk to you, Doctor, here briefly, anything else you'd like to add?
Well, let's see. There is an issue that I've looked at that's puzzling, and you've been to Ground Zero, and that is this molten metal that's reported. It's in publications. This molten metal was found in the basement of both towers after they collapsed and Building 7. But to me, that's a prime piece of scientific information. It is not mentioned in any of the government-funded report.
What was it, 4 or 5 weeks later? I mean, these are NASA photos, heat resonance, and it is there. And even conventional explosives wouldn't do that. This is bizarre.
Right. It is strange. And, I mean, why the government reports would just neglect to mention that?
Well, the government reports, doctors, say that giant columns don't exist.
Yeah, well, FEMA. So, or at least they tended to use that as explanation. I think, though, that this molten metal, now I'm not convinced it was molten steel until it's analyzed, you see. And so in my paper, I call for, as a scientific courtesy, when a government agency, which is taxpayer money, does a report, they should make them the data available to another scientist that I wanted to look at this.
But they didn't allow any photography, and they GPSed each piece of metal, and they guarded it like it was a big, dirty secret.
And, of course, the steel beams, most of them, except for 236, I think, these hundreds of thousands of tons of steel carted off to Asia for recycling. That's just it's a crime in itself.
Yeah, communist China can have it, basically have it, but we're not allowed to even look at it.
Yeah, it's very strange. And, of course, over the protests of courageous people like Bill Manning of Fire Engineering Journal and others protesting the destruction of that evidence.
That's right, and they said that the way that building collapsed didn't make sense, but these are just firefighter engineers. Let's not listen to them.
Yeah, of course,
they
have a lot of experience with this. Now, so anyway, back to this molten metal. I'm hoping that they saved a small sample, somebody, FEMA or NIST or somebody, that we can analyze, because I think that this will be what we call a crucial experiment. If it's iron, what I'm predicting is it'll be iron as opposed to steel. And that would imply the thermite reaction, which produces molten iron as the end product.
That is a separation in the molecules and the steel.
Well, no, it's actually not.
I'll tell you what, stay there, Doctor. We've got a break. The clock waits for no man. We'll come right back and let you finish. Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at GCNLive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645. And we're talking right now to a physicist at Brigham Young University. Headline, professor thinks bombs, not planes, topple WTC. That's the Desert Morning News headline. And he's, of course, Dr. Stephen E. Jones. We were talking about thermite, and of course, thermite is used in these, I guess, kind of these white phosphorus bombs in warfare. Thermite will burn right through anything, and you're talking about this molten metal down in the basement, which NASA did photograph with its sensors. This is admitted. What would cause this but thermite? You're a physicist. Please continue.
Okay, so what the reaction in thermite, the chemical reaction, involves iron oxide, basically rust, with which we're mostly all of us familiar, and aluminum powder. And when these are caused to ignite, which requires a fairly high temperature to touch it off, like burning magnesium, but once it ignites, it burns extremely hot, as you say. Hot enough to melt steel, yes, but cut right through steel. And it can even evaporate steel. It's that hot. But what the end product of thermite, so you have iron oxide plus aluminum, it produces aluminum oxide, that's where the great heat release comes there, plus molten iron, essentially pure iron, then with this aluminum oxide as a residue, would be found with this thermite reaction. So this these large pools of molten iron under both towers and Building 7 is a smoking gun for something, some very high temperature reaction, and it indicates thermite. Now, until we do the actual analysis, we can't state that for sure, but I certainly hope that scientists somewhere saved a small sample.
Could white phosphorus bombs do it?
It's not likely, Alex, that it would be that type of, well, it's fairly sophisticated to do, to cut steel beams using thermite. But the point I'm trying to get at is we need to analyze that, and surely some investigators said, wait, this molten metal, what in the world is that metal? Let's analyze it. I could
so
do
you
that
think
with,
the evidence points towards the thermite?
I think it points towards it, yes. And until we actually do the test, we can't be certain. But
there's a problem, Doctor. There's a problem. Mm-hmm. They've done everything they can to hide that crime scene and to abscond with the evidence and not let us get to it. So it'll be a cold day in hell when that happens.
Well, I'm just hoping that they'll say, well, let's see, we have to at least do the science. I'm hoping that we can get some sample there. The other thing is it's possible and likely, actually, that the metallurgist involved in the FEMA study, what was his name, Jonathan, I can't remember his last name now. Anyway, that they actually did an analysis. It just takes less than an hour, literally, X-ray fluorescence analysis, for instance, on the metal. This molten metal, you could determine, is it mostly iron? I mean, is it does it look like it's not molten steel, or is it iron with chromium and so on that makes it look like steel? And just a very simple test, which could tell us so much about what happened, what caused
exactly.
High temperatures, which, by the way, the fires, the jet fuel, and the burning ox materials cannot melt the steel. The scientists all agree on that.
All right, Doctor, we're out of time. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for joining us. Can we get you back up in the near future with an update?
I suppose we could. And my best regards to Paul Craig Roberts. I've communicated with him over email.
Well, he's in the wings right now, about to come on. So you're saying hi to him right now. Thank you, Dr. Jones.
Thank you. Bye now.
Take care. Dr. Stephen E. Jones, but he just kept bringing up so many important points that we were unable to. But I will get to the folks that are holding later in this hour with our next guest, who we're extremely honored to have on with us, and he's Paul Craig Roberts, and let me just read the short bio on Dr. Roberts. He's a John M. Olin Fellow at the Institute for Political Economy and Research Fellow at the Independent Institute. He is a former associate editor of the Wall Street Journal, a former contributing editor for National Review, a former assistant secretary of the U.S. Treasury. He is the co-author of The Tyranny of Good Intentions. And I just had him on during the break. I was talking to him. I said, Dr. Roberts, what do you want to talk about? And he brought up something that's in my list. You know, when I call Dr. Roberts or Ron Paul or any of these great men, I don't, you know, pre-screen what we're going to talk about. I just have them on. We talk about whatever they think is important. And it was right what I opened the show with today. This open acceptance of torture and the schizophrenia of what they're doing, putting people in prison. But then the White House says that we're going to veto laws barring torture. And Gonzalez writes memos saying we can torture people to death if we don't call it torture, but none of them get impeached or go to prison. And then you know, we found out about all these secret gulags that we reported on 3 years ago. I mean, this is nothing new, nothing secret about them. We know right where they're at, where they admittedly was in the Washington Post in early 2002. They had the CIA section chief bragging that, oh, yeah, we pressure them and torture them in different countries, Jordan and in Egypt. And it said we even do stuff to their kids in front of them. Never forget that in the Washington Post. And I put that in my film, The Road to Tyranny, 3 years ago. You know, I mean, here it is. They say they do stuff to their children in front of them. And, boy, we learned they do that at Abu Ghraib. We had General Janice Karpinski on a few weeks ago, who they tried to blame with stuff, but she wasn't even allowed into these CIA-controlled wings. And now that's what Cheney says. He says, I don't want the Army to be able to torture. Okay, I'll compromise. Just the CIA. Well, that's who does it. So you understand, when you're for this torture, folks, you're for these big, fat, disgusting demons cornering little children. And I just can't believe, I mean, even the Nazis didn't brag about their torture on the radio or in the newspapers. I mean, we're the first ever, I guess since, you know, ancient times, to openly say that we do all of this. And I mean, God help us. I mean, this is just unbelievable. But I've said enough. He's here to talk about that, talk about the police state, all the setups for martial law we see taking place. And you know, he's got real conservative credentials. And he's Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Thank you for coming on with us today, sir.
Hey, glad to be with you, Alex.
What do you think of the statements I just made about how we're against torture, but we're going to ban the Senate, we're going to veto the Senate saying you can't torture, and well, Gonzalez says we can kill people, but that isn't torture because we just changed the name. And, yeah, we got secret camps, so what?
I think that the United States government is in the hands of psychopaths. I mean, these are insane, dangerous people. They're a disgrace to the human race. They're certainly a disgrace to every American. These people have somehow got to be rounded up and held accountable. Every one of them, as far as I'm concerned, is a war criminal. They should be turned over to the court at The Hague.
Well, they certainly...
I don't think we've seen an administration this evil in my lifetime. I include Stalin and Hitler.
Well, they certainly have those grand designs, and I'm trying to understand this, Paul Craig Roberts. Very strong words from you, but it's true. Even Ron Paul, a month ago, without me prompting, said they may declare martial law. They may take our guns. We may all get arrested.
See, the question is, Alex, what the hell are they up to? And let's just start with something simple. Why do they want to torture? It's well known, has been known forever, and all the intelligence services know it, that when you torture people, you get bad information. They tell you stuff just to stop hurting. They'll make up anything. They'll tell you what you want to hear.
They want more false intelligence.
Well, it doesn't do them any good. So the real question is, why do they want to torture people when it doesn't produce good information? Could it possibly be that they need a whole bunch of terrorists who implicate themselves so they can prove there actually is a terrorist threat? So they go round up. See, another thing, Alex, they know. Our Army knows, our government knows, the CIA knows, that all these people they have in detention, the likelihood of any of them being a terrorist is extremely low.
Well,
most
LA
of these
Times.
People, Alex, were rounded up in the equivalent of KGB Stalin-era street sweeps. They just happened to be there when troops came along and grabbed them. Many of them, and it's been in the news, they have lawyers. Many of them were people captured in Pakistan by Pakistani gangsters.
And sold.
And sold to the Americans as terrorists.
Well, actually, what the Army admitted and the head CIA officer in Afghanistan for 2 years said is that they would get between $5,000 and $25,000 per man, woman, or child, and they would just go into little mountain villages of people that never had left their village, who didn't even know where America was on a map. This is admitted. And it was actual Taliban who would actually then come sell these innocent people. And the Army's own report said 75 to 90% of those were completely innocent of even ever picking up arms against us. And they were just children and families that didn't have papers in order.
Yeah, and Arab businessmen who happened to, anybody who's not protected were picked up by the warlords and the gangs and sold to the dumb shit Americans. And so the people who are in these prisons are totally innocent people. I bet you they haven't got five terrorists in the whole bunch. And they know that. But you see, they can't admit that they've made any kind of mistake or done anything that stupid. And they can't admit that they don't really know where any terrorists are, and they haven't caught any.
But how do we get to the point of raping women and children in front of their husbands and fathers?
Well, obviously, the military is out of control. It has no honor, no integrity. There's no one is held accountable. I mean, it's worse than the Waffen SS, if you want to know the truth. All this stuff about support the troops, it doesn't make any sense. But look, there's something in The Guardian yesterday, and it's they call it a name that lives in infamy. This is in The Guardian, which is that big paper in Britain. And it's a about the American barbarism in Iraq. And, of course, we're the name that lives in infamy. So, you know, we are becoming the most hated nation on the face of the earth.
Well, I had Wayne Madison, who was, as you know, a NSA analyst, and he said, working for Reagan back in the 80s, as you did, he said if they saw this type of stuff, if they saw an administration doing this in the 80s, they would have thought it's a fifth column, it's communist, they're doing this to make America look bad, they're doing this to bring America down, they're doing this to destroy all of our international connections. And I said, well, Wayne, isn't that what's happening? And he said, you know, yeah, it's a corporate interest that just is strip mining and insanely just in a bloody orgy of feeding.
Well, I think it's the insane neoconservatives. They've deceived the nation. They committed high treason. They led us into war on lies. It's not working for them. They have to produce the image of massive numbers of terrorists to keep enough Americans on their side who are fearful, and oh, the terrorists are going to get us. See, they've got 750 terrorists at Guantanamo. They haven't got seven terrorists at Guantanamo. Why do you need to hold terrorists for 3 years without bringing charges? If you know they're terrorists, it's very easy to bring charges.
It's actually almost four now, sir.
Yeah, well, four, however long. I think I saw just the other day, Alex, that we have actually brought nine people to trial.
No one's been convicted.
And no one's been convicted. But we've brought nine. So where are these terrorists? If we know they're terrorists, why do we have to hold them 4 years? How come we don't listen when the lawyers representing their families say, you've got my husband and our father, and he's a Saudi businessman, and he was captured in Pakistan and sold to you guys?
And then the Army interrogators even go, look, these people are totally innocent, and they get told, keep them. We're not letting them go. That's on record.
Yeah, because we have to have, see, all of this is bogus proof.
Well, they also fired Brigadier General Rick Baucus, refused to torture. He said, I will not do this. I will resign. They said, no, you don't need to resign. You're fired. As I mentioned, Janice Karpinski, the general, she wasn't even allowed into these areas. She complained, so they tried to blame it on her. But they admitted that the Army wouldn't torture. They beat people up. They said, we're not going to do it anymore. So they actually hired prison guards from federal prisons with bad records of abuse who liked to rape little kids and send them in. I mean, it's unbelievable.
I know, and the whole question is why? What does it achieve? It doesn't. I'm not denying what you're saying. I'm just saying it's pointless. What does it achieve? It doesn't achieve anything except the bad name for all Americans.
It creates terror, as Lenin said, and it creates cadres. It creates torture teams. That's General Karpinski agreed with me. She said they have created cadres of torture teams and then train larger torture teams, sir.
Oh, you mean they're going to turn them loose on us?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, that may well be what they have in mind, but they certainly aren't achieving any goal in Iraq except more casualties for Americans by making them hate us ever more.
Unbelievable. Sir, give us some more of your views on this when we get back. Any other subjects you'd like to discuss? It's always very interesting to have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on with us. I think I might have an answer. We'll see what the doctor thinks about my answer to another reason they might do it. See, Rumsfeld told us why.
Now, in the great United States, we hold ourselves up as this great democracy and liberty and freedom, Bush goes on about. The Senate yesterday endorsed a plan, I'm reading from the Washington Post today, that would overturn the landmark Supreme Court ruling last year that permitted many of the detainees held at Guantanamo Bay to challenge their detention. So the Senate says, gosh, here's the Supreme Court is going to enforce the Constitution and let people have rights. We can't allow that. And you had that Republican from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, leading the charge to overturn the Supreme Court's upholding of the U.S. Constitution. And then they voted yesterday, 49-42, to pass this law to overturn the Supreme Court decision that upholds the Constitution. So here they are, the Senate, United States Senate, voting to deep six the U.S. Constitution. And no doubt Bush will describe this as a great victory for freedom and democracy and liberty and blah, blah, blah. Now, what happened in England at the same time on Wednesday? What happened the day before? Bush's pimp over there, Blair, Tony Blair, somebody who is as despicable as Bush, he said, oh, look, we want rights to hold the detainees for 90 days. Now, look, Bush wants to hold them indefinitely, forever. And the British Prime Minister says, we only want to hold them for 90 days. And the Parliament said, to hell with you, Buster, you can't do it.
Well, it's ridiculous.
So how come England will defend the constitutional right to habeas corpus? And the United States Senate won't.
Well, Dr. Roberts, you sound like it's painful for you to talk like this. I mean, you've been, you know, what I'd call a mainstream conservative for a long time, defending the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. I understand that you understand.
Why is it painful for me? These people aren't conservatives. There's nothing conservative about the Bush administration.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying is that none of us are safe, and the heart of America is that Bill of Rights, that Constitution, habeas corpus. That's why we're America, and they're taking all that away. And
so why is the Senate overturning it? And we contrast that with Britain, and they won't even let Blair have 90 days. They said, all right, we'll let a person be held 28 days without charges. That's it. In the United States, they're holding them forever without charges.
Hey, after 4 years of torture, they'll do whatever you say. Then we can parade them out and scare the public into submission. So we'll take a few calls if they're specifically for Dr. Paul Craig Roberts and any of the police state issues we're discussing. But it's gotten just so obvious now how out of control all of this is, and we should all be upset. The toll-free number to join us on air is 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. You can also read some of the great editorials and news articles that Dr. Roberts writes at lewrockwell.com. We post a lot of them at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, townhall.com. They're all over the place. He's written the book, The Tyranny of Good Intentions. Yeah, these evil people use good people who think it's for good intentions to carry out this whole program. And Dr. Roberts, of course, you know, you were one of the major editors over at the Wall Street Journal, contributing editor for National Review. What is it like for you as a former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury in the Reagan administration to see so many good conservative people? I guess they were good. I even have friends who I was on the page 100% with 5-6 years ago. Now they're like, yeah, we all got to take microchips. And because Bush and, you know, former Health and Human Secretary's person says it'll stop terrorism. Andy Rooney says it. I mean, this is insane body snatcher weird stuff. Oh, torture's good. We got to maybe give up some Second Amendment. So what if Bush is for the assault weapons ban? So what if Bush wants amnesty? I mean, they're not even conservatives anymore. They are literally Bush worshipers. Brown Shirt says, I know you've called them. I want to get into, you know, more on the torture, more on the police state being set up here domestically. But I mean, when you talk to your old conservative friends and they're still worshiping Bush, what do you say to them?
Well, the real conservatives don't. They're not in those places anymore. There's no conservatives on the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Everybody that I work with there has been run off. The same at National Review. The people at National Review are nothing like the people that used to be at National Review. They've all been run off. There aren't any conservatives in those places. You know, they're what I call Jacobins, neo-Jacobins or neo-Nazis. But look, I want to make one point here, and then let's move on to the economy, because that affects people too. I don't know if you may have already covered this, Alex, but yesterday in the publication Capitol Hill Blue, it reports a confidential memo circulating among senior Republican leaders suggests that a new attack by terrorists on U.S. soil could reverse the sagging fortunes of President George Bush, as well as the sagging fortunes of the GOP. You know, we got wiped out in the election the other day. And restore Bush's image as a leader of the American people. This is a closely guarded memo, and it lays out a list of scenarios, another terrorist attack on the U.S., in order to bring the Republican Party back from the political brink. So that shows you the way these so-called Republicans think. I'd like to say, too, these are nothing like the Republicans I work with. They're nothing like the Republicans in the Bush administration. I don't know who these people are or where they came from. It's almost like they came from out of...
Doctor, are you still there?
Yeah.
Your phone cut out for a second. It's almost like they're from where?
Out of space.
No, it is very alien to our form of government and our way of life. But we have other memos from the U.S. government going back where they talk about terror attacks being helpful. We have Gary Hart of the big CFR Commission, days after 9/11, saying we need to use this disaster to get a new world order, to get people's freedoms and liberty. Let's make lemonade out of these lemons. But
I don't think it's going to work for them. I think they're going down in flames myself.
Well, I agree with you, sir, but let me say this. I was not aware of this Capitol Hill Blue, which is very reputable. We're going to be posting that right now specifically, sir. Fill us in. Tell me about it.
Well, I did. It's Capitol Hill Blue, November 10th. Doug Thompson. If you have an email, I can send you the URL.
Oh, we can find it, sir. What's the headline? Do you have it in front of you?
GOP memo touts new terror attack as way to reverse party's decline.
Well, that's a smoking gun right there.
It doesn't say they themselves are going to.
No, I know, but it shows them openly talking about it. I mean, this is just, boy, that would be helpful.
Yeah, well, it may not work because it may simply prove that despite everything, we're not safer. So it's hard to know whether their idea would work or not. People may simply say, well, look, you took away all the rights. We went to war. You said all this and all that, and we're not safer.
Well, that is the problem. That is the problem with carrying out another terror attack, and that's why they're always trying to do focus groups. They've done focus groups engaged. They had a big study, a year ago, the White House paid for a study, I'm sure you heard about that, to see what our response would be to another terror attack, and they found a narrow majority at that time, now they've eroded even more, would support more of their police state policies if there was.
See, I don't think people trust the president any longer.
Oh, I agree.
And so I don't know that they could get away with it. But it doesn't mean in desperation they wouldn't try. But look, Alex, let's talk a bit about the economy.
Well, let's be specific, sir. In desperation, they wouldn't try what, Dr. Roberts?
They wouldn't try some sort of terrorist attack.
Please continue about the economy.
Orchestrating one. Look, Alex, when I was doing Russian studies, I learned that the Tsarist secret police used to conduct bombings so they could blame somebody they wanted to get and arrest them.
Yeah, that was the White Russians' favorite trick, and then, of course, the Commissariat learned that, and they passed it on.
Yeah, so, the kinds of black job operations that governments do are notorious. But let's... can we talk a little bit about the economy? Because
that's, oh, absolutely, sir. Please.
That's what's really...
Yeah, that's your specialty. Tell us about your particular position. I mean, you were basically in your position, doctor, wasn't it running the Treasury?
The economic policy, yeah. Look, are you aware that President George Bush has now borrowed more money from foreign governments and foreign banks than every previous U.S. president combined?
I was aware.
Did you know that he has run up more debt in his time in office than we did in the first 224 years of our existence, from 1776 until 2000.
I was not aware of that. I knew that he had run up, had spent more than three or four presidents combined, but no, I wasn't aware of that.
The entire he had spent no, not just spent, but borrowed from foreigners. Foreign borrowing.
Well, that's why a lot of experts are saying it looks like they're actually trying to bring America down.
Well, it certainly has given Asians tremendous power over us because they hold enough of treasury bonds now that just the threat to dump them would send our interest rates skyrocketing.
Well, the CFR openly laughs at America. I've taped them off C-SPAN. Oh, it's over for us. It'll be the China century. They're the model. That's where we're all investing. I mean, I'm sure you've read and heard where they gleefully dance on our gravies, pieces of trash.
Well, I suspect it will be China's century.
Well, what is wrong with these neocons? Why do they want to destroy America?
I don't know the answer. But the real question is, why do Americans put up with them? You know, it's our fault. There's only a few of them.
Well, I guess spending more than...
I mean, you and I could probably take them out. There's not very many of them. And why do Americans put up with them? Why do Americans believe them? Why do Americans vote for them?
Well,
it's amazing to me.
Doctor, it's almost like they have a spell, but I think the spell is lifting. I mean, you were talking about that earlier. People are starting to see through it.
Maybe. But let's get on now with the jobs. The October job report came out a week ago, and the economy only created 46,000 private sector jobs, not even half of what was expected, and not even a quarter of what it takes just to stay even with population. Moreover, almost all those jobs were in construction, and I would bet went to Mexicans. So probably no jobs created for native-born Americans. But the same month of October, the corporations laid off 81,301 people. So the layoff rate is twice the job rate, and those are jobs that probably didn't go.
But Rush Limbaugh says our economy is the best it's ever been, and it's a dirty commie lie.
What's the point of bringing up that fool? Let's just stick to facts. Rush Limbaugh ain't got enough sense to justify his existence. Now, I'm not interested in that fool.
Well, I mean, maybe if you take 100 Oxycontin a day, it gives you some type of insight.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I bet. Now, so what does it mean if the layoff rate is twice the rate of new jobs? It's not a very promising outlook.
Can I bring up another economic industry, and that's energy? We have the oil companies' own memos starting back 9 years ago where they said we're going to buy up all the small, and I mean all, refineries, shut them down, restrict and cut back ours. Then I watch and then rip people off, create an artificial bottleneck, griping about Saddam overpumping, griping about Venezuela because there's too much oil. They want to restrict it. And then they get up on Monday, the head of ExxonMobil, and says, oh, no, we've built more refineries, which is a total lie, and then they questioned him more. He said, well, we refitted.
Alex, listen, I don't think the oil companies, the American oil companies, don't own much oil anymore. They're mainly just retailers of gasoline, and they're actually even going out of the refinery business. You can't build a refinery in the United States because of all the environmental stuff.
No, I understand, but that's how this whole thing has been set up. So my question is, I mean, where is it going with the energy prices being so high?
Or where is it going with all prices going to be so high? Look, let me get on with this stuff. If you want to talk about oil, let's look at it this way. The U.S. trade deficit with China alone, with just China, the American trade deficit with China is 28%. Greater than our entire oil import bill.
Isn't it like $80 billion a month or something?
No, it's $160 billion last year. It's
I guess the total trade deficit every month was 80-something billion. I saw that number.
The total trade deficit this year was about $700 billion. So you can divide that by 12.
I wonder why I saw that number of a trade deficit of 80-something billion in one month. Maybe it was some big month or something.
It could have been that much in a month. But to look at this, see, people say, oh, what about, we have to have energy independence. But our energy imports are small compared to our imports of advanced technology products, manufactured goods, consumer goods, automobiles. If we need energy independence, why don't we need manufacturing independence? Why don't we need innovation independence? What is it that people are so fixated on energy for? Because, as I just pointed out...
Well, it's something they can actually feel on a day-to-day basis. It's something they can actually see.
Well, maybe they can actually see it, but it's not a significant element in our imports. It's not a significant element in our trade deficit.
Well, Dr. Roberts, where do you see it going then? I mean, if the neocons stay in, or if they fall, or will we go into a depression? I mean, where do you see this going over the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years? Give us your prognosis.
Well, Alex, here's what's happening. Middle-class jobs are being outsourced or being filled by importing foreigners on work visas. H-1B work visas, L-1 work visas, so that the American middle class hasn't got any employment. Their jobs are all shipped out or filled with foreigners. This will close down. This will kill the universities.
They're being systematically targeted.
Well, it can look that way. I think it's just short-run stupidity myself on the part of corporations. They say, oh, we can get foreigners cheaper, but then they have to wonder what happens to the American market. If they destroy the American consumer market because they give all the good jobs abroad, who's going to buy the stuff here?
Well, Dr. Roberts, the globalist, in many different official UN reports and others have said, this internationalism is about global corporations being more powerful than any country, and they want us all interdependent. They don't want a strong nation state. They don't want a strong America.
Look, they may not, but they won't be able to do anything about China or India or Russia. They're not going to put up with globalists.
Yeah, why is the elite giving up its main engine of power, the United States?
That's the question. I think it's just utter stupidity. It's short run. It's 3 month quarterly reporting, where everyone focuses on what's the 3 months results. And oh well, we laid off another 10,000 people and hired Indians in their place, and our profits went up, and we get bigger bonuses. And that's as good an explanation as any. It doesn't imply some kind of.
But why would there be federal programs to pay U.S. companies to move overseas and then insure the investment if it fails?
A lot of those things date from the Cold War, where one of our strategies to contain communism was to develop the vulnerable countries, the ones that were poor and poverty-stricken and seemed to be...
Prop them up. So,
these things
buy
last.
Some influence.
They last long beyond... It's the Cold War is over, but the programs are still there.
So what is the... I mean, even the short-term prognosis, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think the neocons will fall, or will they just keep rolling on? You know, they're talking about going into Syria right now. They just broke relations with them.
Yeah, I think that they're going to fall because I don't think the world's going to put up with them. And we think we're a superpower, but we're not. When you produce, see, this year the budget deficit is about $500 billion. The trade deficit is about $700 billion. That's $1.2 trillion we had to borrow, mainly from foreigners. They're our bankers. If they say, well, we're not going to lend, we're helpless. We're not a superpower.
Stay with us, sir, for a final segment on the other side. We're talking to Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. We've been covering a whole gamut of issues. Very informative. And coming up later, we'll have Bob Dacey in studio, who went to the Free Trade Area of the Americas meeting. Interesting. The studio, actually trying to kick the basset hound out of the studio. He tries to climb up in my lap. He's a huge basset hound. One of my staff's dog, Baron, always causing problems. So I didn't find out during the break. Can Dr. Roberts stay with us 5 minutes in the next hour? Good. Conduct that business here on air. That way we can jam in Ron, Jeff, Mark, Charles, and Lou. Lou's been holding the longest, but I don't think he's for the guests. We'll get to you, but Bob Dacey. Lou, if you want to hold even more, God bless you. Dr. Roberts, we just got about 3 minutes now, about 5 minutes the next hour, but just in a nutshell before I go to these calls, and I'm going to go right to them, we've got the new Fed chairman coming in. We've got him saying, I'll print even more money. I love printing money. Where do you see it going? I mean, are they going to lead us into total ruin?
Yes. Yes, they're going to lead us into total ruin. They're destroying the tax base with the middle class. The spending is out of control. And they're entirely dependent on foreign borrowing. They have to borrow from foreigners, which gives foreigners more and more power over our policy. The Chinese can nix anything we want to do just by threatening to dump the holdings of treasury bonds. And so could the Japanese, but they seem to be too tame to do anything like that. But if they wanted to, they could bring us down.
China routinely threatens it, as you know. Let's take a call. Ron in New York, you're on the air with Dr. Paul Craig Roberts. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Doctor, it's a pleasure to hear a man who can apply logic so cogently and so precisely to the fact you have.
Good to hear from you, Ron.
Yes, yes. I've been out of circulation for a while, but I'm back.
What's on your mind?
Okay, to address a few things relative, of course, to what the doctor has been driving at. Today it was actually reported in New York Newsday that the police commissioner of New York City has gone into a memorandum of understanding with the Central Intelligence Agency. We have a local, that has to be emphasized, local law enforcement agency.
Oh, we have it in Austin. They're setting up local commissariats.
Yep, and in fact, he has retained, and it seems to be a very favorite place for people who retire from the CIA to come and get a job in retirement, the NYPD. So we definitely got strange going-ons here. A few other things that have struck me very odd over the last several weeks, and they follow this way. I begin to strongly suspect events in the world. Case in point, the explosions in Jordan. Now, if anybody knows Muslim culture or Arabic culture, they would know that attacking a wedding is an extremely taboo thing to do in that culture, if you're not aware of that. That's a very, very taboo thing.
Oh, but Mr. Al-Qaeda, Abu Absab al-Zawahiri, he took credit. He's only been killed 10 times and injured 50 times and murdered 24 times. And it's just total gold.
My point is, why would a leader looking for empathy in the Arab world do something?
Okay, got to let you go because we got more callers. Dr. Roberts?
I think he has a very good point, Alex. He has a very good point. And I saw the Israeli newspaper, Haaretz, initially said that all the Israelis in those hotels had been given prior warning and were pulled out.
And it's confirmed that Netanyahu got a warning on 7/7.
They later retracted that. But I think the caller did have a very cogent observation.
What about local CIA offices? They're setting those up.
Well, it's just more paraphernalia of the police state.
But that's illegal. They haven't, still haven't changed that law.
You know, list about everything they do is illegal, Alex. The war is illegal.
How do they get away with that? Write the memo that says torture people, and then they say they're for torture, but then they send people who follow their orders to prison.
It looks like Americans just don't care. It looks like they don't care. Or they're macho, or they're, that's just ragheads.
Yeah, they don't understand. This whole thing's directed at us, folks. That's unbelievable. Stay there, sir. We'll be right back with a quick five-minute segment. We'll jam in three more calls for you. Callers, it's going to be quick. Stay with us. Really quick. I'm so honored to have Dr. Paul Craig Roberts on with us. Bob Dacey, who was at one of these local FTAA takeover meetings. He's coming up in the next segment. But I want to get to three of your calls really fast. So be quick, callers. Be fair to the other people. Jeff in Mass, thanks for holding your on the air with Dr. Roberts. Go ahead.
Yes, very simple question.
Do you think that the torture in Iraq will come here to America, i.e., if we should ever have martial law and they should start arresting patriots, conservatives, constitutionalists, and anybody who's a thorn in the flesh of government?
Doctor?
Yeah, I think torture, I think it's actually already here. You may remember the police used to beat people up all the time to get confessions, and then known as the Warren Court, the big liberal court, made a lot of rulings which stopped domestic torture by the police of suspects. I'm told that in a number of prisons with bad wardens, that torture already goes on in the United States. But I'm absolutely sure that if an institution that was once known for its honor and integrity, the United States military, if it is undertaking torture in Iraq, that if they can corrupt the military like that, it would be very easy to corrupt the police.
Thanks, Jeff. Absolutely. I mean, our military was always the good guys. We didn't do that, and now we do. Let's talk to Mark in Las Vegas, then Charles in Louisiana. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, I was in the Marine Corps, and I tell you, we were trained to not torture, but the doctor, he's sharp here. I was going to bring up that GOP memo. I guess I can just add one of the other scenarios about it said capturing Osama bin Laden, in parentheses it puts, or proof that he is dead. So that'll be an interesting one. I wonder when that's going to come up. But the question I had, and I'd like to get the doctor's opinion on this. I noticed a long time ago, one of the people that got caught up in the CIA's dragnet when they were sending their Learjets around the world to kidnap some guys to bring to their torture camps, happened to be a son of a prominent and wealthy opponent of none other than Gaddafi. It was the son of an opponent of Gaddafi.
Well, Gaddafi's our buddy now. He's good. We've never been at war with him.
And I wondered, number one, is Gaddafi by chance deep cover CIA? And number two, it seemed to me that perhaps their policy is to go after prominent, wealthy people who have some influence.
We got to get that question answered now. Thanks for the call. Doctor?
I just couldn't answer it. I just don't know.
Let's talk to Charles in Louisiana. Last caller. Charles, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Jones. Louisiana, it's been took over. The economy is down. They're cutting the workers, and they're giving more money away. New Orleans has got all Mexican workers. They're charging $300 a month for a tent in City Park. $300 a month just to put a tent. They don't want the people back in New Orleans. You watch and see when a troop comes out how easy it is to take over a state. It's unbelievable what's happening.
Well, we know that was engineered, and Dr. Roberts has talked about that here on the show. And
yes.
Charles, call back again later next week. I want to get a report from you from Louisiana. You did a great job during the floods, and Godspeed, my friend. I hope you're doing well. We're now closing out here, Dr. Roberts. Would you like to comment on what did happen in New Orleans?
Well, it was, just another criminal act. I do think it happened on purpose. And what their goal is, I couldn't say for sure.
Well, we know they'll get to hand out a couple $100 billion in contracts to their buddies.
No, they're handing them out to Mexicans. Well, why are they cutting the American workforce out? That's the real question. Why do they have all these Mexican construction firms in New Orleans?
I did see that.
Yeah, what's going on? I mean, why? It is, normally Congress wouldn't permit it.
I hear you. Dr. Roberts, thanks for coming on. Take it. Well, we've had an absolutely powerhouse, grand slam, out of the park broadcast in the last 2 hours and 8 minutes, 21 seconds. In the first hour, we had physicist, doctor, professor, Stephen E. Jones from Brigham Young University, a senior physicist there. Just the impossibility of the official story. There had to be bombs in there. And he believes thermite bombs as well because of all the evidence. And then we had Paul Craig Roberts on just saying it's total police state, total Nazism, total takeover. One of the most conservative people. I mean, we're talking Wall Street Journal editor, deputy at Treasury for Ronald Reagan. I mean, this is real. This is scary. And then there's my good buddy, Bob Dacey, who's written for Infowars.com. He also has started writing for the New American Magazine. And he went up to an FTAA meeting with some of the top people from the UN and others there, pushing this agenda for the free trade area of the Americas that was dealt a very serious blow, a crippling blow, but not a death-dealing blow, unfortunately, by Hugo Chavez and others. But it's in deep trouble because people know it's bad and people are revolting worldwide. This is just to create the American Union to merge in with the EU. That's why they have to get rid of the middle class. That's the official global New World Order plan that Dr. Roberts didn't fully understand but is beginning to understand. You know, why do they want to destroy America? Well, that's been the plan all along, to put all the wealth into the hands of international corporations. So Bob Dacey went up to a major university and basically confronted these people, one of the reporters there. And Bob, good to have you in studio with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much for having me, Alex. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You know what? I'm going to start over because I didn't have your microphone up. It's a brand new studio. I'm just now getting used to this. Bob, you can start over.
All right. Well, thank you very much for having me on, Alex. I appreciate the opportunity to be here this evening.
You bet, my friend. Tell us, for those that don't know, what the FTAA is, how it ties into Agenda 21, this whole global straitjacket, and then tell us about this conference, and then I want to play this two-minute clip of after you hear all their babble, then the press gets a chance to ask questions, and this will be Bob Dacey up at Baylor confronting this guy.
The Free Trade Area of the Americas is nothing but the American or Western Hemisphere version of the European Union. It's just a step toward the eventual merger of the entire planet under one global government. And that's all the FTAA is about. It has nothing to do with free trade. They stick that name on it. It's gigantic government bureaucratic regulations beyond the control of the American taxpayers, beyond the control of the American citizenry. It has nothing to do with free trade. But that's just what they call it.
These big bankers and big corporations just get our governments to sign treaties with private boards they create, and then we vest government power to them, we cede it to them. It's totally illegitimate. It's piracy.
Absolutely. Completely piracy. And that's why Will Gregg, the New American, sent me up there last month to Baylor. He wanted somebody that was you know, local Texan to cover it, and that's what I did.
We're going to play this clip. Who is this individual? Tell us who some of the key players were, what this particular meeting signified, the name of it, what happened, and then I want to play this clip.
All right. This is the Free Trade in the Americas Conference, which was held at Baylor last month. And the key players, the two key players, the first one, the keynote speaker there, was Dr. Supachai Panichpakdi, who is from Thailand, and he is the recent head of the World Trade Organization. And he is the current head of the United Nations Trade and Development Council, UNCTAD. So this guy's a big, heavy hitter in the New World Order. And the what you're about to play is a second question I threw at him at a press conference they had. See, they were kind of embarrassed. Nobody showed up for the press conference except me and a reporter from the Houston Chronicle. So I had him all to myself, basically. And the first question I asked him, he kind of hemmed and hawed about it, and then I came at him again, and he answered the question, but then he took off.
Now, specifically for those that don't know, why were they here? I mean, you discussed the meeting. I've watched some of the speeches they gave. The good news is they admit to what we're seeing here from the outside, that globally these programs are stalling. People are resisting. Nation states are resisting. Even big businessmen, they're having trouble getting them to go along. There's a true rebellion taking place. And then you're at this meeting, you know, basically right at the same time that their whole program is getting into deep trouble down in Latin America.
Yeah, but the main one of the other heavy hitters at the conference was Richard Fisher, and this guy is has got globalist credentials up one side, down the other. Worked with Henry Kissinger, used to run help run OPIC, that organization you were talking about in the previous segment that sends the jobs out, you know, and fires Americans and guarantees loans for getting jobs to the other side of the world, you know, fire the Americans and then use their tax money to back up the loans, right? And Dr. Fisher, or Mr. Richard Fisher, who's now the current president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, this guy's a big, big heavy hitter. And he was saying, listen, man, we're going to get this FTAA jump started. We have to do it because it's a moral imperative. I mean, he was saying it was a national security imperative that we get the FTAA jump started, and we needed the political will to do it, had to come from the United States.
We've got to give freedom to all these people and deindustrialize America. It's our moral imperative to enslave everyone.
That is basically what the man said.
All right, you're talking to the head of the WTO, ladies and gentlemen, and also another, he also is a big chieftain at the United Nations. And here is Bob Dacey up there confronting him just, what, about a week or so ago?
No, it was early in October. October 7th.
So we're talking 2 or 3, 4 weeks now. Time is really flying by, but I guess the New American article just came out.
Yeah, the New American is in the November the 14th issue of the New American, and you can actually access that article by going online, thenewamerican.com, scroll down and click on the article, Texas, the Keystone State of the FTAA.
And we also have a link to it up on Infowars.com right now there in the guest section with our guest writer, Bob Dacey. Let's go ahead and play this clip where Bob is confronting the head of the WTO. Go ahead and roll it.
Dr. Sibachai, concern of a lot of Americans is the national sovereignty of the United States vis-a-vis organizations like the FTAA.
Yes.
And according to Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution, only the United States Congress has the power to regulate foreign trade.
Yes.
Do you consider the United States Constitution to be an impediment to your FTAA?
Well, I don't see that. And up till now, there has been whoever is in the administration in the United States, we always recognize that U.S. has always taken up the leadership role in conducting negotiations that always produce a momentum for the trade bicycle to always move ahead up till now. But what I just said is that there is a rising concern around the world that, as one of our colleagues just said, that the sense of leadership that was needed for this trade round to move ahead wasn't always there. I wouldn't say that it wasn't there at all, but not always there, because sometimes it's been diverted into some of the different regional and bilateral negotiation. It's not always there.
All right,
and
that's
also
enough
the
of
sense
this.
That in the
the point is that notice how he sidestepped the question. Hey, this violates our Constitution, giving up sovereignty to you, and he lists the area of the Constitution. His answer is, well, your government's violating it. Your government, by the way, is leading this. Hey, this is your government's whole vehicle. That is the globalists that control our nation, have our nation pushing it. So he really admits what they're doing and admits it's unconstitutional, but just says, hey, your government is the engine.
Yeah, he says the Constitution is not in the way, basically because we've already ceded that authority to the WTO, because any dispute resolutions are supposed to go to them and this FTAA. Therefore, we've already blown off our responsibility to have the Congress regulate foreign trade. That's what he's saying.
Yes, we have a link right now on Infowars.com to their speeches and the entire press conference with the Houston Chronicle and Bob Dacey there asking him questions. But let's specifically get into your article and the key points, the key things people should know about the FTAA. And, I mean, the headline is Texas Keystone State to the FTAA. Folks, I've told you. That's why for 7 years I've had deep behind enemy lines his Central Texas Command Center. I guess on KGFK I had a similar liner. So for 10 years or longer, I mean, we really are the model. I mean, they're putting in the transponders, the toll roads. They're militarizing the police. The border's wide open. They're putting up cameras in the neighborhoods and on the roads. They're setting up little CIA liaisons with our cities. I mean, Texas is like Massachusetts or California. We are on the very front line of this under heavy bombardment. And it's happening here. And they admitted at this conference, did they not, Bob, that Texas is the jewel in their crown, just geographically because of this 15-lane giant super corridor, which will open the borders completely. They're going to hand out transponders to people that drive there now to the U.S. and legalize everyone, Bob.
And that is the central point that most people miss about the Trans-Texas Corridor here in Texas. They say, well, they're double tax tolling us, and it's going to cost too much money, and these roads don't go anywhere into the cities, and everybody's grappling about it, and that's great. But what they don't seem to understand is why they would build this thing. Dr. Subachai himself, at the had his keynote speech at the beginning of the conference, said it himself.
It's a giant cancer tentacle coming up from Mexico. Go ahead.
Yes, you need the infrastructure to link the areas in order to make them work. You need the infrastructure. He mentioned a project in Southeast Asia. He says if you link them all up, it'll make it work. So the real reason they're trying to build the Trans-Texas Corridor is to build the infrastructure to link the United States with Mexico and Canada. I mean, in 2002, when they put it up on the Texas Department of Transportation website, I mean, they had a map. They had two maps showing big arrows.
And they've now taken that down, and I didn't save that. Did you get it?
I've got it. I've got it.
Oh, you've got it right there.
I've got it right here.
Map, Lisa, have it. I'm going to scan that in for our listeners. I'm going to get that scanned in, Bob. My overworked staff here. Oh, by the way, I didn't plug my videos last hour. We need your support so I can hire more people. My two guys in there right now are, guy and gal, are about, I mean, they're just, here it is. Pan American Union, Crossroads of the Americas, Trans-Texas Corridor, the heart of it, from Guatemala right up into Minneapolis, St. Paul, and Canada. We are in deep poo-poo, as they say. Bob Dacey, I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you are out there fighting for this republic. When we come back, give us the full details of what this nightmare slave grid is going to look like. Blue and others, your calls are coming up in the next segment. But there's so much to cover here. 1-800-259-9231. Bob wants to get into who this Chubakai guy is, well-known commie. Of course, big bankers control him, got to consolidate the wealth. That's who funds it all. But I want to get into these Trans-Texas corridors. Folks, they already have these in Oklahoma, up into Kansas, and into Missouri. You'll drive 50 miles before you can exit. You're not allowed off. The McDonald's and the gas stations are built in the medians. You see all these beautiful ghost towns with Victorian houses. Because, see, these are going to be international. Oh, to stop the illegal aliens, these roads are really international. But so they're police and checkpoints and customs, and they're going to search you when you get on and off of these. You're going to have transponders. This is the official admission. They're going to have 4,000 miles of Trans-Texas Corridor, another 2,000 in the cities, a total of 6,000. And guess what? You ain't exiting. You ain't getting off. And that's the official plan. This isn't even a toll road. They're just going to make you pay to be a slave, Bob.
Well, the toll road, part of the reason for the toll roads is to help fund the thing. That's why they're trying to turn existing free roads into toll roads, so that they can help fund this boondoggle. It's obscene. It's absolutely obscene. It's not going to alleviate any traffic problems because it doesn't go into any of the cities. Hello, you know? It's all for the infrastructure of the free trade area of the Americas.
And I know people that work up there. They're now building this thing right outside Austin, and there's these giant roads you'll be out in the country, and it's admittedly, in their own documents, arterioles. It is arteries. It is veins for this international infrastructure. Bob, explain to people. This is not our opinion. This is publicly admitted.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they admitted it. Again, this website that the Texas Department of Transportation put up, and then they yanked down. I mean, there were numerous references to Mexico. As a matter of fact, the bill that created it, House Bill 3588, a couple of years ago, passed through the Texas legislature, and nobody seemed to notice. That it's full of references to linking up with Mexico.
Well, if you look at what Homeland Security says, they go, oh, we're going to end illegal aliens because we're just going to give everybody a transponder on their car. We're already hearing this now with our passports or with people's visas. And so anyone who wants to come is going to be allowed in because you have it's going to be international instantly. We are only a year or two away, and I'm right in the middle of it.
Yeah, and just in a very short time, we're all supposed to be thinking about North America. America, Alex, we're supposed to be North Americans now, don't we?
That's taught in all these public schools.
That's what that guy, what's his name from the CFR, that booklet he published a couple of months ago, what's his name? I can't remember it.
But just tell us what they were saying at this meeting overall. Okay. What was the main message?
Here's the deal. Dr. Supachai Panichpaki is a communist, okay? During his opening speech at the hoity-toity dinner that they had Thursday night, he, in passing, mentioned that he had a meeting with a communist Chinese trade minister, Bo Zilai. And he said that, just in passing, he said, yes, he is the son of one of the six heroes of the Chinese Revolution, a close associate of Mao Zedong.
And so that's like saying he's a close associate of Adolf Hitler.
Yeah, and he just proudly states, he calls one of Mao's cohorts a hero. Now, so the guy's a communist. And all these intellectuals at Baylor, that just goes right over their head. They've been conditioned that trade...
Ooh, communism, sexy, all those 60 million dead. Ooh,
They've been conditioned that trade is everything. They kept repeating, trade is a bicycle. You must pedal the bicycle. Trade is a bicycle. Trade is important.
But this isn't trade where it's selectively consolidating and raping us.
Well, no, it's not trade, but they call it trade. And since this guy's a WTO former head, he's a heavy hitter. He's no slouch. But I wanted to tell
What's his current position at UN?
He's the director of United Nations Council for Trade and Development, UNCTAD.
And of course, we have UNIDIR that says we must all give a turn in our guns.
Yes, they've got more alphabet soup organizations than you can say shake a stick at. I wanted to tell the listener something. When I asked that question you played a while ago, after I asked that question, the entire entourage booked out of that room. They didn't stop to collect $200. They just took off. I think Dr. Supachai was faced with one reporter and question after question, and he wasn't going to put up with it because they were all hostile questions. They just took off out of the room.
What was the question by the Houston Chronicle? Just tell me, worship you, leader, leader.
The Chronicle question, she was asking something about CAFTA and whether it was going to help them or not. And, you know, will it or won't it, the thing passed. What I'm worried about in all this is people like Richard Fisher. You know, this guy, big-time globalist, international banker, he's, you know, CFR.
$3,000 suit, looks good, looks like a movie star.
Trilateral commission, you know, Henry Kissinger, the whole nine yards. You got to watch out for those guys. They'll try to make it happen.
Well, he said they're going to do that.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, tell us more about it. Let's go through some of the notes in your big article you got published there in the New American. That's great, Bob.
Hey, how about
you? Took my challenge. How many days? It was like 8 years ago to get involved or something.
Well, I've been involved a long time, man.
Well, I know that, but you
really... You're the guy that woke me up, though. I got to admit that. And I haven't fallen asleep since.
Rise, Lord Dacey. You have done well, my apprentice.
All right, a little episode 3 nerddom, ladies and gentlemen. No, but you want to... Folks, I don't get off on having a Ferrari, and I don't have a Ferrari. Some people say, he said he had a Ferrari. He said he works for a circus. No, I don't. I mean, I can joke around about something, and it goes out there. I don't care about possessions, things. I could care less. What I love is that so many dynamic, thoughtful, intelligent people have gotten involved because I've challenged them to and because they love freedom. And just like people who woke me up, you know, Gary Allen back in the 70s writing None Dare Call a Conspiracy, my dad... You know, that's our job. You don't know who it is you're going to talk to who's going to end up really doing big things in this fight. And, Bob, you've woken up tens of thousands of people now.
Well, you know, I've been on the air as the host of The Simple Truth, the local cable TV access show, for over 6 years now. We're in our seventh season.
It's very popular.
Yeah, apparently it is. I try my best with no resources, and, of course, we just do it out of obligation. Jeff Kentoff and Kelly Taylor are my producers, real good friends of mine, and... couldn't do it without him.
Well, and then you write articles for InfoWars.com, and you type Michael McCaul's name, the congressman, into Google, and, you know, number one pops up your article about him. I mean, you know, that just shows, bottom line, folks, we're having an effect, we're involved, and I want you to be leaders out there that are listening. Look, I want you to get involved.
There is no question that we are having victories. The FTAA is having big, big problems. You know, if you want to learn about the FTAA and understand what it's about, you know, I encourage your listeners to go to www.stoptheftaa.org. That's a vast information pool about the real reason for the whole thing.
And by the way, this whole global government founded and funded by these big corporations, they're transferring our government powers into international bodies and then giving themselves governmental power. And one of their blueprints is the Agenda 21 that Gorbachev and all of them push. And they go in under other names and get your local cities to pass laws, to get into regional boards, regional governance. Talk a little bit about that, Bob.
Well, you know, the bottom line is, you know, they have to lie about everything to get it passed. I mean, let's face it. We're talking about the Texas Department of Transportation back in 2003. Put this on their website to train their employees how to convince Texans that we need tolls. And they had something called Toll Road Finance 101. And they're saying, listen, we need to limit the alternatives to toll roads. Because free alternatives mean lower revenues, and if you avoid frontage roads in this procedure and you use discontinuous frontage roads, of course, you're going to force people onto the toll roads. I mean, they had this on their website in 2003 as to how to promote causing you to pay money for roads you already paid
but
for.
But then they claim they didn't have any money, even though we're using more oil and more tax than ever.
Well,
but then a good TxDOT employee leaked stuff that said classified, not for distribution, earlier this year, that said we've got more money than ever, we don't need this. And guess who owns the big toll road that is being ceded? Spain. It's a big Spanish company, a lot of it held by the King of Spain.
Yeah,
the King of Spain is actually, it never ends, Bob.
Yeah, what they're doing in Texas is they're trying to face break the Texas, the citizens of Texas, into paying for their own demise. That's it, right there. And they're not even going to use Texans to build it. They're gonna, well, actually, they are. But
well, it's like what we have in New Orleans, Brown and Root, KBR, a subsidiary of Halliburton, openly has. Bush said, oh, we're going to hire all Americans and Louisianans. Baloney. Openly, it's illegal aliens, and then they even rip them off and don't pay them. It's in the news. Bob, this has reached just total criminality.
It's completely insane. But you got to, again, I know you understand that they have to lie to get all this done. At this conference I went to, they had a Canadian economist named Michael Hart, and he admitted that in order to get NAFTA passed, they had to lie to the Congress. They had to say it was going to increase our exports when they knew all along that it was going to do the opposite. I mean, they just flat admitted at the conference that they lied to get
it. We lie to them to get it. It is good. And I tell you about how great Lenin was. Now let's move on to our banker lord.
And this sovereignty notion, when I used that word sovereignty at the press conference.
Was it like vampires and holy water?
Well, let me tell you something. There was a lady, another Canadian economist named Sylvia Ostre, sitting there behind Dr. Subachai. And when I said that word, I was watching her. She's about 10 feet away from me. She leaned over to the CFR guy, Gary Huffbauer, next to her, and I saw her, and I heard what she said. She said, sovereignty.
I knew it. I'm pieces of filth.
I'm not kidding. She said that. Sovereignty.
The scum rabble soon will have their arms.
I mean, I think that the question I ask about actually questioning the wisdom of the FTAA stunned them. Like, because there was no discussion at the whole conference about, is this a good idea or not? Nothing at all. And when you mention sovereignty, they just, what?
Well, here's the incredible thing. Openly, back 10 years ago when they planned it, we're going to have this giant 15 lanes on both sides going all the way up into Canada from Guatemala, openly bringing in all the illegal aliens. They'll be totally legalized. This is the official plan. It's going to be a total nightmare, devastating. They're going to wall off the roads where you can't get to the small towns. That's the official plan. We've seen it where they've built these already. And there's cops out there listening right now who I guess are going to enjoy doing this to their children. I mean, we're actually, you know, there's bureaucrats listening who are still going to serve this system. This is war, folks. This is an actual enemy world government beachhead. Roads, all roads lead to Rome, folks. Roads are everything in a civilization, in a society. Rails, roads. This controls humans. It goes back to those UN maps that Dr. Coffin put together. You lay those maps together, 90%+ of the country off human access. Tell them about that. I mean, this is a hell system.
Yeah, that was Agenda 21 is what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
I mean, that was one of the first things I actually woke up to, Alex, when I was first listening to you. And
I made that film, America Destroyed by Design.
Well, I thought you were nuts. You know,
I've actually attacked people claim that I cover up Agenda 21 when I was talking about it a decade ago.
Absolutely not. The subset of Agenda 21 that you were talking about when I first ran into you was this business about the United Nations and the national parks, and they're controlling them and making these concentric rings around them that you couldn't get into. And I was thinking, you're like, you know, off your cookies, you were totally nuts. And then I found out that you were telling the truth because I think it was the state of
Kentucky
said that they documented the whole thing. And I'm going, oh, no, this nut Alex Jones is telling the truth. And that was all a part of this Agenda 21 about driving the humans into the cities and keeping the disgusting humans off the land so that the moose in Canada can visit his cousin in Colorado without having to see one. You know, that's what it was all about. And you were right. You were absolutely right. And from then, I just started to be a vacuum cleaner of research, and I haven't stopped.
Well, you've done a great job. Your TV show is excellent, Bob. In fact, we ought to talk about sometime taking all your TV shows and condensing them down to a two-hour video and putting that out. I think
that would be impossible. 6 years of TV into 2 hours.
Well, no, you just pick some of your best things and put them out. Okay, I want to take some calls. Lou's been holding so long, I'm going to go to him. Then we're going to go back in the news, and then we'll go to Art and Barbara and Jeff, and that'll be it for calls today, because you've got a lot more you want to talk about with this FTAA. But to be specific, I am last weekend out deer hunting at a family reunion. Well, actually, at the time, I was fishing one of those little cattle ponds, stock ponds, and it's my dad, my children, my wife, my uncle's wife. We're out there fishing. To make a long story short, and we got AP Network News on, And they announced FTAA is dead for at least 5 years. Bush very angry. This is an incredible setback to the regional government for the Pan-American Union. I'm going, Mike, I'm like, yeah, all right. They were doing high fives. And later it's, oh, no problem. They'll fix it. They'll turn it around. It'll be back within a year. So what is the truth? I went and researched it. These things are so complex, and these payoffs, and these corporations, and all these deals, and who gets what in these 15,000-page bills, I'm not kidding, that it's screwed up for many years now. And but from the meeting you were at, we're still in the fight because they're still going ahead with the building blocks of it, of Agenda 21 and CAFTA. But this is, it's like the EU getting rejected. Its final expansion to total dictatorship got rejected a few months ago. There are good things happening. Did they seem to be panicked, or were they still just arrogant and aplomb about it?
No, they were in a state of disarray. It was universal throughout the conference. They were all griping about it.
Oh, yes.
Except Mr. Fisher, Richard Fisher. He was very confident that they needed to manufacture the political will within the United States to get this FTAA through, and he just flat said it. He knows that in order to get it done, you got to go through the United States Congress, and you know how the CFR is. They have a tendency to pull it out at the last minute.
Well, I mean, 6 months ago, 7 months ago, they put out a report calling for this Pan-American Union and this merger with police and military with Canada and Mexico. The Canadian papers were saying, end of sovereignty, world government. And then, but within months, they'd adopted it and Congress had adopted it. It's like whatever they say happens.
Yeah, it's, you know, you'll have 90% of congressmen's constituents calling up, say, don't do this, and then all of a sudden they'll flip at the last minute. You know, it's very serious. We still have to work very hard to stop the FTAA. And again, I mentioned www.stoptheftaa.org. You'll learn more about the FTA than you could possibly imagine.
Well, really, all they've got going for them is that they've got the money and the power, and they're paying people off. But we really do have the majority of the population. All they've got now is this remnants of an illusion that we're the minority and they're the majority. They are a tiny minority.
Yeah, and they also, at this conference, the actual input of the business community was only like a small player in their discussions. Like, oh, well, part of the problem is that these businessmen are off doing other things and they're not all that interested. It's like, I always thought that free trade was all businessmen. You on one side, me on the other, we get together and we swap
beef. But it isn't free trade. It's economic war using third world slave populations to deindustrialize the United States and destroy the middle class.
Yeah, and Mr. Fisher, he was very adamant that it's a wonderful thing that the United States runs these giant trade deficits. He said that it was our duty to do it. It was our obligation to impoverish ourselves with debt.
Oh, I even heard him say that on NPR. Soon Americans will have a low standard. This is what we deserve.
He said that we are the consumer of last resort to the world. And he also said that if we didn't run these deficits, look what would happen to Germany.
Well, I know this. If, and this is important, wealth is not destroyed. It's merely transferred. All that wealth, 4% of the population, that was the U.S. and the world. We had over half the wealth, not anymore. It's all going to these greedy control freaks. Let's take calls. Let's talk to Lou in California. Go ahead, Lou.
Yeah, hi, Alex and Bob. It's nice to talk to you both today.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
I would love to get both of your thoughts on the merits of an idea I had as to what we can do to make a positive difference. What would you think about, you know, a city by city, a county by county petitions and referendums whereby we would reassert our United States and our state constitutions?
I think that is the next step above these Patriot Act resolutions, and that's the idea I originally came up with that was then watered down and duplicated by the Bill of Rights Defense Committee.
Well, you know, it seems like if we were to do something like that, since all of our government officials are taking oaths to uphold and defend these constitutions, that it would certainly seem odd if they were to oppose such a thing. It would help to identify, you know, traitorous politicians and hopefully awaken some of the loyal politicians and citizens. And just bring the, you know, light to the whole issue.
Well, I go back to, you know, courage lacks when there aren't numbers. And this illusion is breaking. All these prominent people are coming out on 100 different key touchstone issues. And so this is starting to happen. I mean, already people are starting to see through what's going on. And so it's up to us to not go, oh, it's all over, there's nothing we can do, or to infight with each other as the COINTELPROers would like us to do. We've got to just keep moving forward on the enemy, Bob.
When at the federal level they're doing some of this stuff, and we at local levels and state levels say, no, we're not going to play the game, it reminds me of when I was a little kid growing up in the 60s and the 70s, the hippies used to say, hey, man, what if they gave a war and nobody came? Well, you know, that's kind of like what we're doing. So, fine, you want to pass a Patriot Act that says you're going to search my house and seize my stuff without a warrant? Well, we at the local level, we aren't going to play the game. What if they gave a Patriot Act and nobody played? You know, I think it's a good idea.
Well, they'll carry out a terror attack to convince us it was our fault, but now they're getting exposed that they're behind the terror. Anything else there, sir?
Well, you know, I would love to hear you guys both discuss strategies or tools that we can use to defeat the Hegelian dialectic of political conflict resolution as it relates to, like, for example, Alex, I've seen you a couple times on a network called Free Speech TV. I'm sure you're aware of the network.
Yes.
And, there's a lot of good information to be had about 9/11, Iraq, and other subjects.
But the answer is the UN world government.
Exactly.
No. See, the left will sit there and say all the stuff that's true, but then give you bad solutions.
Right. And that's what worries me so much, is that there's so few people that are awake, and of the ones that are awake, so many of them are going to get siphoned off into these, you know, phony things. And like you said, they're giving us the choice between national socialism with a Bush administration or international socialism if we would have had somebody like Kerry.
But as soon as you put, I'm telling you, liberals, though, good, well-meaning liberals I talked to 5 years ago, I'd explain that big government, where the elite and corporations lobby for it, and that socialism is really a tool to consolidate the wealth. I mean, socialism is like the mosquito lands on you. It doesn't just stick its proboscis into you. It sticks its proboscis in and pumps in an enzyme to liquefy. So socialism liquefies us, domesticates us, then the international corporation sucks the innards out. So socialism doesn't lead to communism. Socialism leads to fascism, corporatism. It's designed. So their paradigm's all screwed up, but you give them the truth and you shift their paradigm. It goes, man, it all makes sense. Ooh, it feels good. Ooh, it's true. You see, we got the truth, and you can't keep a coming against the truth. I'm telling you, man, look, we're going to win this thing. We always had. Throughout history, it's going to be tough. It's going to be rough. God bless you, and thanks for holding. It was good to hear from you. Let's take another call here. Let's go ahead and talk to Art in Kansas. We're not in Kansas anymore, Art. Welcome.
Yeah, you can say that again. You may know of this organization in Kerrville, Texas, the Fund to Restore an Educated Electorate, FREE. It was founded in 1980. They have a 22x17 folded broadside that lives.
Yeah, it's on red and black.
It lists CFR, the Trilats, and the Bilderbergers, and we're dealing with these creeps every day. Now, you can get this broadside for $2, postpaid, from FREE, Post Office Box 293339, Kerrville, Texas. 78029.
Yeah, really what I ought to do with that big chart of how they control things is I ought to just order a whole bunch of those and sell those or get those out to people. A plug where you just give the address out, they won't get a single letter.
It's the thing I've ever seen, though, to deal with, to know what who these people are. I mean, you can't do business any day of the year without funding these creeps.
No, they sit over every major system, and they use the government to give themselves the contracts.
The universities and the media, and you name it. So I don't know what to do about that.
You know, I used to have those, and I always lose them or give them away. Mail me one of those, and I'll carry those.
Well, you can get them right down there.
Well, I know, but I forget how to. I don't have their address or phone number. Will you send it to me?
Yeah, I can send you one. Sure.
Sure, and then I'll contact them. And what I'm saying is, maybe I'll put them in free in orders or something.
Well, that'd be good.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, sir. We've got a break. Final segment coming up. We'll go to Barbara and Jeff, and then that's going to be it. We're going to wrap up this broadcast. And, yes, I got to plug the videos at least once an hour. I'll briefly tell you how to get my films or books on tape on the other side. We're now carrying Tex Mars's bombshell book, Codex Magica. 600-something pages, over 1,000 photos, learn the secret Illuminati language. We're also carrying the coming battle book about the birth of the Federal Reserve. You want them both. I'm gonna have to start having Bob Dacey in here for 2 hours every month or so, if you'll do it, Bob.
If I can figure out the time, I'll do it, Alan.
I know. Running a business in America today, but it's fun to have folks in studio. I'm going to have a lot of people in studio next week.
My customers keep losing their jobs to foreigners overseas. You know, it's kind of rough, you know.
I hear you. We're going to take two final calls from Barbara and Jeff here. I wish we could take more of your calls. Just briefly, my new film, Martial Law, is out. It covers who carried out 9/11 and how they did it and why they did it. You need to have this video. Big discounts right now. You can get my DVDs as low as $5.95. On some of the special package deals, T-shirts as low as $9.95 a piece. The high-quality made-in-America T-shirts, I mean, they're costing me like $5.50 a piece, to give you an idea. I just want to get the material out there. We'll give you a free bumper sticker, of course, with any order, or a couple bumper stickers. And carrying a lot of new books and videos, so please go to Infowars.com and get some of the great information and make copies of my videos. Get them out to people. Or call toll-free. They can answer all your questions and take your order, tell you about different films and different specials. 1-888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. And don't forget PrisonPlanet.tv, 15 cents a day. See it and get it all. Download copies, everything right there, 15 cents a day. PrisonPlanet.tv. And you know it goes right to the front lines of the info war. Barbara in Tejas, you're on the air with Bob Dacey.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Alex. How are you doing?
Good.
Just you were talking about waking Bob up. I wanted to let you know before I get to my questions that, Alex, you woke me up while I was in the dentist chair when I first moved to Austin. How's that?
I don't remember that, but how were you in the dentist chair?
Well, I was in the dentist chair and you were on the TV. That was
the first time
I'd ever seen you.
Gotcha.
And that was pretty funny. And I thought you were getting a little out there once, and myself, and I thought, wow, man, has Alex gone too far? And you were talking about the codes and laser printers?
How many years ago was that?
And then the next day, you know. Well, when you had revisited it a few weeks ago.
No, I mean, that was in the news in industry publications 4 or 5 years ago about codes and laser printers.
I'm talking about a few weeks ago, you were totally vindicated. Sure. The next day in the Austin Statesman, it was on front page, so I was like, oh, all right.
I know. Listen, I don't want to believe this stuff is true. I just spend all my time researching it.
Well, that's not why I called. I called for a few things. Yesterday you were talking about population extermination with Peter, and you mentioned Peter Singer.
Yes.
I attended a graduate seminar with Peter Singer in the philosophy department at the University of Colorado.
Yes.
And I was an undergraduate, and I was so enraged at him and his position that I attended this graduate seminar, and I was the only person who argued with him, who even raised their hand.
Well, why don't you write an article for me about what you heard him say and what he did, and I'll post it.
Okay. I'll try and remember exactly what he said, but I'd love to.
We're almost out of time. What else is on your mind?
Free trade, path from Mexico to Canada. I lived in Vancouver for the last 4 years and discovered that the Hells Angels are in charge of Canada.
Well, there are a lot of criminal groups that the government uses. I wouldn't say fully in charge. Listen, I'm out of time. I got to go. Bob, let's try to cram one more as we said we would. I got to have you back on. Jeff in Denver, go ahead.
Yeah, hey, Alex, you and Bob are doing a really good job.
Thank you.
I wanted to pass some information along. Alex, I was on your show back on October 26th. And what we talked about was CIA international trafficking in children, about Yorkshire Television Discovery Channel.
Yeah, you called in, yes.
Yeah, a video documentary exposing a child sex ring that reached Daddy Bush Sr. at the White House.
Yeah, we're almost out of time.
Okay, anyways, after I was on your show about an hour, I was surrounded by 3 Colorado State Police and 2 FBI agents who started threatening me. Oh, yeah, that actually happened. And,
do you have a record of that?
Oh, yes, I sure do. I actually have a record of it. I'll send it to you.
Okay, send it to me. We're out of time. Bob, I try to get to the calls, and it ends up getting sped up, and it's crazy. But anything else you want to say?
I just want to say go to thenewamerican.com and read my article on Texas, the crossroads, the keystone state of the FBA.
All right, thanks for coming on. We're out of here.
All right.
Take care.
Take care.